Hi, this is J.W. Oliver with Global Impact, and we have a really cool guest. In full disclosure, I work with Jacob some, and Jacob Salem, how are you today?
Man, I'm great. Mr. J.W., thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I'm going to read you a quick bio. I think it's important, kind of sets the stage who you are. Founder and chief executive of Easy Metrics, a global digital marketing agency who has represented some of the world's most foremost public professionals, speakers, influencers like the Ziegler Corporation, Les Brown Enterprises, as well as several small business and nonprofits. You've helped generate over 1 million leads. I bet that's even more now, and prides himself on helping businesses grow and modernize or monetize their presence online. Jacob's a follower of Jesus, a devoted husband, a dedicated father, a passionate serial entrepreneur who's built his business on 6 foundational building blocks: faith, love, loyalty, character, honesty, and integrity. Along his journey, Jacob has learned what it takes to be happy, healthy, prosperous, and secure. It's given him friendships, peace of mind, and a hope for a better future. Wow, that's a great bio as well. I love, the most important thing was a follower of Jesus, right? We definitely share that affinity.
That's right. That's right, man. You couldn't have said that better if I wrote it myself. Oh wait, I think I did.
Wait a minute. I think you did write that.
Yeah. Actually, one of my copywriters actually wrote that. Laura wrote that. But it's hard to write your own bio,
isn't it? It's a little self-serving. You're writing it, and you're thinking, should I put that in there? You know, I won the sixth grade 100-meter track festival. No, probably not. Yeah. You get carried away.
Yeah, we actually changed that a little bit. So you're right. We have generated a lot more than a million leads now. We changed that. Our whole focus of the company now, I do need to go update it. It's all about ROAS, return on ad spend. Leads is awesome. We generate leads for companies all the time. But really, you know this as a business owner, what really matters is, are you making money on the money you're investing? And so we really focus on ROAS now. We were doing the math. We're nearing helping generate almost $250 million in sales for our customers. Now that's over 9 years and we've served a lot of great customers. But I got to get that worked in there somewhere if I can phone a brag about something.
Well, yeah. And I think I would just use the term $250 million. That sounds even bigger.
Yep. We're not quite there, but we're, you know, we really sat down and I went through every client. I mean, we really sat down as a team, had a lot of fun doing it because that's what this is all about. We're in business to help other businesses make money. And I think you and I both love the Zig Ziglar quote that says you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. And so we partner with other businesses that are doing that, where they're serving their customers well, and we try to serve our customers and help them get more.
We had this conversation last time. You worked with a number of high profile people, but you've been working with Zig Ziglar Corporation since day one, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, they were one of my first clients, them and another client to shout out, Tony Cooper, who is still an active client. They were my first two clients, and they both signed on basically the same time. I was kind of doing my own thing with social media, growing my business as a speaker, a trainer, and a coach, certified under the Zig Ziglar brand. And then I just started reaching out to people like, hey, how can I help you? Right. That genuine, true, like, service of what can I do to help you? And that's how I reached out to Tom Ziglar. And that sparked the conversation about what I was doing on social media versus what they were doing on social media. Tony Cooper was in on that conversation as a completely separate business owner. But just kind of in that bubble, and I was able to sign them both as clients, and that sparked a company. We've changed names a few times since then. But that's what really sparked the company. Was I started by running the Zig Ziglar Facebook page, and literally it was just posting content. And Tom Ziglar had actually asked me at that time, they had 1.2 million followers. Now we're just over 6 million followers. They had 1.2 million followers. And Tom said to me, he was like, Jake, man, if you could figure out how to turn 1.2 million followers into $1.2 million, you will have job security for life. And so at the time, I thought that was social media marketing. And I've learned a ton about social media marketing. We might talk about that. I'm not really sure where the podcast will go. But that went from social media marketing to digital marketing, and really realizing that social media, you know, likes, comments, and shares typically doesn't make any money. What makes money is digital marketing, where you can leverage that social platform, pull them off of that platform, and then begin nurturing them with great offers, great emails, good communication, building relationships, or even just sending them to a great high converting sales page works as well. But social media marketing and digital marketing ended up being two completely different things. But over the last 9 years, I've been blessed to surround myself with some amazing team members and put in the hours to really crack the code on that.
Well, you know, you said, it's funny you mentioned that. I think we had talked about it before, but I can remember a few of the Zig Ziglar quotes. You know, it was so impressionable to me when I was younger as well, and even today. And I think I told you I went to his Born to Win seminars and got to meet him years and years ago. But those quotes that you hear, that especially when you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get everything that you want. And I've always, not that it's, you know, I'm on my desk or not that I read it every morning, but I've always had that in the back of my mind, that if you really focus on that, that really comes to a biblical sense too, right? You're focusing on others, getting away from self and putting others first. So how did that really help forge you? I mean, you mentioned how it started with Tony Cooper and with the Ziglar Corporation, but that's something you really believe in today.
Yeah. So as a preface, I'm a former pastor and I still do some evangelical work too. So I just really have that in my heart. I believe in serving others, right? It just as a general core concept of my life. And what I've seen from that is the reciprocity of it, or the what goes around comes around. You know, you can say all these statements any way you want to say it, reap what you sow. Those are all saying the same thing. And so, you know, in my own life, I've built and sold two companies. Easy Metrics is my third successful, and I've had multiple failures as well. I've just learned that if I genuinely go forward and serve people at whatever capacity they need to be served and do my very best to get them a result that they want, that's going to, you know, remove some pain from their life, it's created a massive amount of success for me, because I go into it with truly having a servant's heart, that not thinking, oh, they'll pay me a retainer, or, oh, I'll get paid based off of results. I always go at it thinking, if I don't get them a result, I'm just going to refund their money, because that's kind of who I am at my core, right? If we make a promise and we don't live to that promise, you'll never find anybody say anything bad about me across the internet. You know, it'd be very, very hard to find something, because if something ever didn't go the right way, I made it right. I'm, you know, not going to sit on any podcast or interview and say we're batting 1,000 and we've never made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens is, from that heart of service, is I try to serve you. I do my very best to make sure that we have a fair trade of value, that you got what you were looking for. And if we didn't, I do whatever I can to make that right. And so it's the idea of I serve you and things just come right back around.
Interesting. I heard you say something about failed in businesses, and you know, those old numbers of 7 out of 10 fail. I think that's within the first year. And I think two out of those 10 will fail in the next, you know, the first 5 years. So it's only about 10% that actually make it, if not less. But yeah. It was interesting. I love John Maxwell's book, Failing Forward. But I was actually writing an outline for some stuff about some speaking topics that I could do at some of these events we're attending. And I thought, you know, one of them is entrepreneurship-learning to fail. How has learning to fail, and how has failing, because I can speak for this for me, failing has been more important to me than have being successful. I've learned way more in the failing piece. How has that affected you in terms of failing in businesses that weren't successful and to regroup and recharge?
Yeah, failure has been, you know, crucial to my success, just like many, many entrepreneurs. I think one of the hardest parts about being an entrepreneur, and I've always been a young entrepreneur, even still I would still qualify myself as a young entrepreneur. 9 years, this is my longest standing company, most successful company. The hardest thing for me was learning what I didn't know. I want to phrase that differently. Figuring out the things that you don't know that you don't know, like that one layer deep, right? It's not knowing that, hey, I need to develop leadership, or I need to develop sales skills, or I need to develop processes or systems. There's things that come with being a business owner and an entrepreneur that you don't know that you don't know. And so it's, I can't go pick up the book to read it. I can't go fix it. It's, I have to stumble on it. I have to bang my head against that wall, or stub my toe, if you will. Once I run into those things, then it's figuring out, okay, I don't know this, and then finding the solution. It has been amazing for my journey, because once I make that mistake, right, once I have that failure, whether it be failed ad campaign or fired someone I shouldn't have or hired someone I shouldn't have or tried creating an offer or a service that doesn't fit or actually get results, then it's a matter of surrounding myself with the people who can help me get to the answer and the result that I want. I am successful today in Easy Metrics because I was able to hire the right people and surround myself with the people who could see the things that I couldn't see and help me to avoid failure, if you will, in this business. So yeah, we've had failed ad campaigns and I've made plenty of mistakes, very specifically in Easy Metrics from a leadership standpoint. And I'll lean into that in public if you say it, but I've been able to surround myself with the right mentors, books, tapes, CDs, as you will, as well to get me where I need to be.
Funny, I was reading, finishing the book, Craig Groeschel's book, Lead Like It Matters. And we're actually doing a chapter in that each week. And this week's, our meetings, our company leadership meetings was, I read this in this chapter. So John Zinger said, great leaders are not defined by the absence of weakness, but rather by the presence of clear strengths. And it's taking me a long time to realize there's areas that I'm just not good at, right? I mean, you know, I'm not a detail-oriented person. You don't want me looking over a proofreading a financial spreadsheet or whatever it might be. But there's things I'm good at and there's things I'm not good at. And you said something that was really critical about, you know, learning from the failures and then what should you do? And it's hiring the right people or surrounding yourselves with the right people. And that's something I used to always try to hire the least expensive person. And that was always a catastrophe, right? Like, well, I can afford that person. Well, that person wasn't doing a job because they probably weren't successful in it prior, right? And it's those ones who are expensive. And that's the same with selecting companies to partner with. I mean, you know, you're not the least expensive company out there to work with.
Right.
But after engaging with you, we realize, wow, it's very effective. So those are some of the things that I realize is surround yourself with successful people or even successful business partners, right? Are not business partners, but people you want to partner your company with to grow. So, you know, how interesting you said that, but as we talk a little bit about this, I think the name of this should probably be Learning to Fail. How would you say surrounding yourself with the right people? And I don't know really anybody in your organization, but how has that helped you?
It's been the only reason I'm successful. So I want to answer this from two points. I know you asked it from an organizational standpoint, but I also want to answer it from a mentor standpoint. So in my organization, we currently right now have 26 people on our team, counting a team member that we actually got from Zymworks. So we're up to
Thanks for the plug.
Yep, I love that. Zymworks.com, by the way. And I love it. And so we have 26 right now. And truthfully, I don't know this number, but over 9 years, I probably hired and fired 100 people. I don't say that proudly, but you know, we've had to go through people to get to where we are. So I have an amazing team right now. We have our sales systems in place. We have our implementation team has really got things locked in. William, shout out to William, who's been with me really since the beginning as well. He's been with me 8 going on 9 years. As well, that has helped me tremendously because with the right team, so this is the kind of, you know, quotable statement, with the right team, I've been able to remove myself from the day-to-day operations in the business for the most part, you know, 90%. So that way I can focus on working on the business rather than in the business. And that has been credit to the growth and success that we've had over the last, even just 18 months, has really been because I have very specifically put myself to be the face of the company, traveling and speaking, focusing on sales because I love sales, and then looking at operations, day-to-day operations, tracking numbers, and that has been exceptional for helping me grow. So the team has been everything. Howard Partridge, one of my mentors, friends, clients, met him through the Zig Ziglar Corporation. One of his quotes, this is a paraphrase because I might not get it correctly, says, you know, in order to accomplish your dream, you have to build the team. If you don't build the team, you got to give up the dream, right? Something like that. And you got to build the team. So the team has been incredible. In addition to that, I have opened up my checkbook and paid other people. I've had mentors over the years. Some were free, right? Some were just free mentors, donated their time. Others were work for their information. So I've done the whole, I went and worked for a multimillionaire who owned multiple companies. I just worked for him for free for about 2 years to learn as well.
Wow.
And then also I've opened my checkbook, right? And paid coaches, those people, like I got this $1 million award behind me. I'm very proud of it. That says one of our funnels using ClickFunnels generated $1 million. There's another guy who has that award twice, but for $25 million, who owns an agency, right? So I'm like, he's a guy I want to know. So I paid, opened up the checkbook, went and just spent a day with him, right? I've hired coaches that I meet with on a regular basis to hold me accountable. And so you surround yourself with people who can hold you accountable, see things that you just simply don't see, and tell you to make changes that are bold enough to tell you to make changes, not someone just to rah-rah and cheer you on, but that person that's going to make you run that extra mile and do the extra push-ups and not speaking physically, speaking in your business. But that's also helped. So the team that I have has been awesome, but also surrounding myself with the right mentors and coaches has also allowed me to really grow exponentially.
Well, I can assure you I've failed at more businesses than you have. And because I've got a few years under my belt, and it took me a lot longer to recognize what I was doing wrong than you did. So I commend you on that. I mean, I've worked with a business coach who's actually in Cape Town, South Africa for the last 5 years, Christian man, Jeremy, good job. If you hear this, Jeremy, you're doing a great job. I've referred him to a lot of people. And some of the things that he really has pushed me on was, if you're going to grow your business, you know, we've got a long-term goal of 20,000 team members in Zimbabwe. Nice. He said, you got to get awesome. Out of the operations. You can't be stuck in the operational piece of the business. You've got to be the visionary. You got to grow the business. But you reminded me of something. I was making some notes. I need to refocus is, you know, work on the business, surround yourself with other mentors, either in your industry or in other industries. And like you said, I've got a friend that used to just send out emails and make phone calls, and he would be persistent and call very high profile people and say, hey, I just want to spend lunch with you. I just want to go to lunch with you, you know, or you tell me where you're at and I'll fly to where you're at and I'll buy you lunch at whatever steakhouse, because I just want to learn from you. Right. Yeah. And so I think when we're always in that mindset of number one, working on the business, number two, surrounding yourself with good people, number three, always trying to learn more from other mentors, it makes a really big difference. So yeah, if I just came up with my new book, right? Work on the business, surround yourself with good people, and then look for great mentors, because those are obviously important things.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Wow. Well, you've got a really cool business. Talk about how, since you started in this 9 years ago, how it's changed, because obviously there's been even other formats that have come out now, right? Other social media platforms. You've seen the rise in some, you've seen the fall of some. Yeah. How has that changed in 9 or 10 years that you've been focused on this, and where is it headed, do you see?
Yeah. So when I started the agency, we were calling it a social media marketing agency. And at that moment, like many, I was convinced that I could just post on social media and my clients will just come flooding through the doors, right? And that ended up not being the reality. So I'm going to give just a quick little snippet of something that's never going to change. We use a four-cylinder marketing system in our business, irregardless of what the client has, what the client offers. The system irrefutably works no matter what. And so it's really simple. It's a four-cylinder system. It's a four-step process. It will not change 30 years from now, 100 years from now. It's what they were doing 100 years before me, and it's what they'll be doing 100 years after me. So we are using social media as kind of step one, but social media could be used as like a website or even branding, right? It could be used as anything, but social media, right? So you have social media, then you have traffic driving to an opt-in, right? So it's a good website. It's a good website where you're giving somebody something in exchange for their information. For most of our brick and mortars or our service-based businesses, we're giving away a free estimate or a coupon code. We're giving away something of real value, so that way our prospects will give us their name, email, and phone number. So now we can actually pull them into our business database where we can begin nurturing them. So step number three is nurture, right? We're emailing them, we're text messaging them, we're following up with them with actual phone calls, and we're staying in front of them, maybe even sending mailers at that point. Then after you have, you know, those first three steps, and I'll break them down again just to slow it back down. Then we start running paid ads. So when I started my company, it was just social media marketing. And we thought if we posted, it was going to work. Well, that wasn't getting measurable customers. We weren't even reaching that many people. Maybe we had 1,000 people on our Facebook page. If I posted a quote poster or an infographic, that graphic was only seen by like 50 to 100 people, right? So none of my followers were even seeing everything. So then we started boosting posts, right? And trying to reach more people. But then after we were reaching more people, we still had no real measurable system to capture that information and build a real business. And so I want to kind of back this up. So you got social media, step one, having some social proof. The purpose of having social proof on that social platform is so that when somebody sees your ad or when somebody goes and looks you up, they can actually see a real live viable business, right? Let's talk about these platforms you mentioned too, right? You have Clubhouse, which was here and gone. And some people are still doing a little bit on Clubhouse. Clubhouse came and went throughout the pandemic. You got Twitter, you got TikTok, you got YouTube, you got Google My Business now. You can actually be posting on Google My Business. Twitter, just bought by Elon as we're recording this. If you're going to be present on a platform, then be present on the platform. What I mean by this is many business owners will create that Twitter account for their business, you know, in 2010, and they never post on it. Well, if I hang out on Twitter, if Twitter is my playground where I play, and I'm looking for a roofing contractor or whatever, right? If I'm looking for a roofing contractor and I go look on Twitter and I pull up, you know, your business and you haven't posted since 2010, I might think that you're no longer in business, even though you are. You're flourishing. You're killing it on Google My Business. You're killing it on your website. You're killing it on Facebook or whatever platform. If you're live on that platform and you're not being active on that platform, you look like a dead business. So if you're going to be on a platform, be on a platform. The other thing that I want to point out, and I'm kind of rambling at this point, but I really think it's important for listeners from whether they're a startup or whether they're, you know, a Fortune 5000 company, whatever, Fortune 500, is only go on platforms in the beginning where you actually think and believe based off of your own demographic research that your ideal customers are hanging out, right? Truth platform is coming from President Trump, and there's all these other platforms out there. But really, you should only be building your business on the platform where you think your customers hang out, right? So when I was dating, right, and I've been married now, actually, that's 8 and 9 years. All these things are like 8 or 9 years of my life, I guess. You know,
yeah, because before that, you were in grade
Christian
school.
Guy. Yeah, say that again.
Before that, you were in grade school. So you had to have to be after
Yeah,
that.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. But business and marketing and social media is no different than just real life, right? If I'm a Christian guy looking for a Christian girl, I'm probably going to have a better chance finding her in church than I would at a bar, right? And so you want to hang out and associate in the places where you think your customers are also hanging out.
Right.
And so I think that's tried and true. You know, I obviously with Elon buying Twitter, I don't think Twitter's going anywhere. I actually see good things coming forward for Twitter. I don't think Meta is going anywhere either. Facebook, I think they have too much of a footprint in the market. And then TikTok, I think many, many people are sleeping on TikTok, including me. I'm going to look back on this podcast in 5 years and remember it. TikTok is where the youngest generation is hanging out. TikTok now has more daily users than Google and YouTube, which wow. is just mind-blowing. When I was told that, I didn't believe it. And so naturally, I went to Google to prove it, right? Because Google is like, just Google has so many. So TikTok is the largest platform on the planet. I personally am not hanging out there because, one, I'm not really good at creating those dancing videos and I don't really create good video myself. But then also it's a young demographic there and my current customers aren't young. But I actually had one of my clients tell me the other day, Jake, those people are 16 now. Where are they going to be in 10 years? Right. And it's like if we're thinking a long term play, TikTok, a lot of people are sleeping on TikTok and beginning to build relationships there and build content there and run ads there would work. And again, just prefacing, TikTok is that younger generation. You got Gen Z, some millennials, and millennials aren't quite my customers yet, simply because millennials are either millionaires or they still live with their parents, one or the other. And so I've been rambling for a minute. I'll pass the mic back.
Yeah, well, that. I was going to say, it's interesting you pointed that out. You know, just Friday, where I was at a marketing conference out in California, and one of the comments was, they said, if you're over 50 years old and you like your website or you think your website is just great or your Facebook page is great, it's probably awful. because you need to go look at it from a younger perspective of the technology, you know, people who are more technologically savvy and try to focus on that. But, you know, you said something I never had really thought of, or maybe I inadvertently did, but you do need to focus on a specific format, right? If you're not savvy with TikTok and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, you know, I know some people that they're only on LinkedIn, right? And, but they're active and they're very, very active and they're not on the other. And I think that's okay. But it is hard unless you're a large, large company to have an intentional focus or paid ads, if you will, even on all these different formats, because you could spend a fortune, right? You could literally flush a lot of money. So it is interesting on that. So one question, it's funny. We just are going, and I've done a lot of print ads as well. We are actually going to be doing some mailing postcards next year. Because we've realized the effectiveness of those. You know, there's still a place for those. And especially the B2B set where we can market directly to some of these businesses. So don't consider that everything is outdated. You may not want to only be in print advertising, but you don't have to all be on digital advertising as well. So that was interesting. You brought that up a minute ago.
Yeah, if I can interrupt really quick too. I know that you will really, really appreciate this. So with mailers, and we do mailers as well, and I don't want to cite softwares because there's a million that can do this, but when you send a mailer, right, I love digital marketing, right? And so mailers really only work if you have a great call to action to something, right?
Yeah.
So what you can actually do with mailers now, and we're testing this on our very next batch, where you can add the QR code, which is sending them to the website, right? So the call to action is scan this QR code to go somewhere, right? We want them to take an action, call us, email us, or go to my case, I want them to go to a funnel. I love websites and funnels. So with the QR code, I just recently learned there's softwares out there that can do this, and we are absolutely going to do it. Where when the person that received the mailer, when they scan that QR code, you can get an email notification saying that John Doe just scanned the QR code, like immediately, right? So then if you have the proper team in place, which I know you guys do, while they're on the website or right after they scanned it, you can pick up the phone and call Mr. John Doe and say, "Hey, John Doe, I saw you got a flyer. And hey, I just wanted to reach out." You might not want to tell him, "Hey, I know you just scanned my QR code," but whatever the script is, you can literally.
Hey, we recently sent you a flyer, and they're like, "Man, I just looked at that thing." Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah. So being top of mind, you hit them from all angles, whether it's a text message at that time or a phone call or maybe an email as well at that time. There's so many ways to leverage the power of technology to grow your business right now.
Wow. Wow. That's really cool. I'm going to have to re-engage with you to help me with my print advertising. Well, actually, we were going to get that into the funnel system. So
yeah.
Well, it's interesting how wise you are at this point. So I hope everybody picked up a little bit of information on this and how you can make an impact. And again, I'm big about using your business or businesses where you can impact lives. I had a friend gave me another book. I was at a conference this weekend, and he actually walked up and handed me another book called Business for the Glory of God, Wayne Grudem.
I like
that. It was interesting. I texted this to a friend of mine. I said, he's a pastor for 30 years. I said, "Hey, Rick, you heard of this guy?" He goes, "I heard of him. I know him real well." He goes, "That's a great book. You need to read that." I'm like, "Well, I'm already reading it." So, but we can use our businesses to impact people. We can use them to make a difference. And if you want to know how to get a one of those gold plaques for Jake in the back there, you just have to go to easymetrics.com. Is that right? How do everybody live here listening get into one of your funnels?
Yeah, so easymetrics.com, that's letter E, letter Z, metrics.com. More important than that, I'd rather have them find me on social media. You can look up Chaplain Salem anywhere, at Chaplain Salem anywhere. It'll pull me up. Jacob Salem as well. You know, let's connect. Let's be friends. I'm a real person, real human, and we actually get on phone calls. And so, but also our main website, easymetrics.com, is a great place to learn more about how we could serve you.
Well, and I'll speak from firsthand experience. We just met back in July or August, and did a little engagement that we've extended it again, and we've really been happy with the results. We've learned a lot. And so we're definitely excited about that. And do check him out if you're interested in leveraging your business with social media. Definitely get a hold of Jacob, and he can help you with that, help you develop a plan. And most importantly, learn that failing is okay. There is not, yeah. Don't consider yourself, Zig Ziglar said that, right? Failure is an event, not a person. And right. I see all these Zig Ziglar things popping in my head again. And so don't get all beat up when you fail at something. Learn from it, try it again, and just, you know, don't give up. Just don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on what you're trying to learn. But Jake, we had a good time. Thank you for joining this. And it's always fun to do this and just learn a little bit. You gave me some new ideas for some things I need to do. And so we appreciate you taking the time to be on here as well.
Well, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We'll get this out in the next couple weeks. And again, learn to make that global impact with your business, with your influence, with your friends. Surround yourself with good people. Most importantly, keep loving Jesus. Have a great day.